In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We heard today this genealogy. We celebrate today, the Sunday before Christmas, every year, the genealogy of Christ. And we have this reading from the very beginning of the Gospel of St. Matthew. It's an important passage, and it would take me a long time this morning to unpack all of the details. I'm thinking maybe we can do that in the Bible study coming up here in January, because there are so many details that are involved. And that's why Matthew takes the time and the effort. And remember, in the time of Matthew, it was not inexpensive to write. So they didn't just write these words flippantly or meaninglessly. There was a very specific reason why Matthew wrote out this genealogy the way that he wrote it. But there is one thing that I want to highlight about it this morning, and then something else that I want to highlight from one of our scripture readings that we heard on Friday morning at the Royal Hours. Because both of these things that I want to highlight are something that I think is often overlooked. We tend to overlook when we think about the meaning of Christmas, when we think about the meaning of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see in the genealogy that Matthew mentions unnecessarily. He mentions four women. I say unnecessarily because you can see that throughout the genealogy that he tracks it as was done at that time through the men. This man begot this man, who begot this man, who begot this man. But he mentions only four women out of all of this. And there's a reason for that. Three of these women were harlots or adulteresses. One of them, Ruth, was a pious woman, but was an outsider. She was someone who was not born an Israelite, was not born a Jew. And so we see from this mention of the women two things. Number one, we see the inclusion of the outsiders, which of course is something that will be important in Matthew's gospel and throughout all of the gospels. The inclusion of all peoples into God's community, including those who are harlots, those who are adulterers. But even more so, what I want to highlight about the fact that Matthew includes those three women who were adulteresses and harlots, is to highlight what Jesus comes from. You know, we Orthodox love to talk about the Theotokos. We have our icon in every church. On the iconostasis, we talk about her being pure and immaculate, holy, and she is. There's no disputing that, at least not for me. But what we can forget in honoring the Mother of God is that Jesus Christ was just like you and me. If you go back a little bit in our family history, some of us may be a little more recent than others, but you go back one, two generations and you start finding a few problems. A few people who weren't necessarily the most pure. A few people who, you know, maybe they're a little bit of an embarrassment to the family, or they did some things that they were good, or that we might be ashamed of. And you see, Jesus is the same. He comes from a family that's broken. He comes from a family that was needy. He comes from a family like me and you. And I highlight this, brothers and sisters, because the problem for us is that we often think about Christ as being so holy and so separate from us that we forget about the fact that he is indeed like us, and because he's like us, it means we can be like him. So in other words, we like to think, well, he was Jesus. He came from Mary, who was pure and immaculate. He had an upper hand on us as a human being. I can't be like him. We make excuses in our sins, as we say at every Vespers in the Psalms, where we tell ourselves not to do that, to quit making excuses in sins. But today, Matthew proclaims to us that Jesus is like us. He is a human being, and after all, that's what we celebrate this season. In fact, you know, I don't say it very often in my emails because it gets long, but the official name of this feast that we often refer to as Christmas, or as even the Nativity, is the Nativity in the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we're celebrating today is the fact that He became like you and me. That He was a human being. That He experienced the brokenness of this world. And yet He shows us, brothers and sisters, a better way. A better way than you and I live. Because we continually choose sin. But He chose a different path, and we're reminded today to choose that path. And related to that, I want to highlight one of the psalms that we heard, Psalm 71, at the Royal Hours. Because so often, brothers and sisters, we tend to think of what Jesus did as mere piety. We tend to think of being a Christian as coming to church, going through certain motions, maybe following the fasts and so forth. But we forget many times the purpose of all of this. And in Psalm 71 we heard about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we hear about, it's a messianic psalm, meaning it prefigures Jesus. And specifically, of course, we read this at the Royal Hours of Christmas, of the Nativity, as you will hear in reference to this Messiah, that He shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from the rivers even to the ends of the inhabited earth. Before Him shall the Ethiopians fall down, and His enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarsus and the islands shall bring gifts. Kings of the Arabians and of Saba shall bring presents. And of course, we will hear this evening about these wise men, these magi. But then what I really want to highlight, all the kings of the earth shall worship Him, all the nations shall serve Him, for He hath delivered the beggar from the oppressor, and the poor man for whom there was no hope. He shall spare the poor man and the pauper, and the souls of the poor shall He save. From usury, which for those of you who don't know means charging too much interest. From usury and from injustices shall He redeem their souls, and precious shall be His name before them. We often overlook the fact that throughout the Old Testament, and of course in the New Testament as well, Jesus is interested in what many people call today social justice. In other words, Jesus was interested in the way that we structure our society. And we try to structure our churches and should try to structure our churches in the way that Jesus has taught us, the way that we were taught even in the Old Testament. And so it's important for us to remember that ultimately, as we celebrate Jesus' birth, as we remember that He was like us, that we could be like Him, that His eye was always towards those who were in need. The reason, brothers and sisters, that we fasted these last 40 days and finished the fast today, one of the main reasons we do this is to learn self-restraint, is to learn that we need to be able to share with others and not just do everything for ourselves, focus always on ourselves, enjoying our own lives and neglecting the fact that some people don't have enough food every day of the year. It's a reminder to us, brothers and sisters, that ultimately our call from God, our call from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is to make sure that we do as he did, that we take care of the poor and the needy, that we help to honor them, and ultimately, as he did, that we would help to lift them up. To him be all glory, honor, and worship unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Praise to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.